Shall we open our Bibles again to the Gospel of John tonight, the very first chapter, and just see what the Lord has in store for us from this precious portion of His Word. You know, I just love to preach the Gospel and to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's giving each one of us saints the privilege to try to open the eyes of the blind. You know, when you're a preacher of the Gospel, it's such a joy to be sitting down with somebody and pointing them to the Lord and seeing that individual's eyes opened up to the true reality of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, beloved, as we pointed out this morning, this is a dark world in which we are living in. We're two classes of people here tonight, either those of the children of light or those that are the children of darkness. Now, we're in one of those two groups. We're either saved or we're lost. We're either as a child of God or a child of Satan. And God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us from the curse of the law, being made a curse Himself. And so let's pray this week that some will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe you have children. Maybe you have relatives. Maybe you have a father, a mother, or someone else that you'd like to reach for the Savior. Pray for them. Pray for them three times a day as you go to give thanks for the food. Just utter their name in prayer and ask God to make it possible that they'd come out to your services this week. Let's make it a family week. You know, it was one thing I loved about my parents. Now, I didn't love it too much before I was saved, but it was one thing I loved about my parents now, at least, is that every time there was a meeting at the Northeast Gospel Chapel in Minneapolis, right next door to my house, I lived right over here, just about 6 feet away from the chapel. They always had us there at the services. You know, sometimes you say, Mother, we have school lessons. That preacher goes a little long. I don't know what people would do today if they had the preacher that we had of yesteryear. They didn't know anything about a clock. They just kept on preaching. And sometimes one fellow I remember was at our chapel. We preached so long that finally one of the fellows was going out, and he stumbled over the cord, and the projector was pulled out, and he says, plug it back in. He said, no, that's all we can endure tonight, and then ended that service. But we used to have some long preaching. But you know, all of us kids had to be there night after night. We all sat in the back row, six children of the Redling family, but all six children have professed to be saved. Before Mother and Dad went on to be with the Lord, they could thank God that all of their children knew the Lord Jesus Christ, this personal Lord and Savior. But it wasn't by accident. It was a lot of hard work on Mother and Dad's part. They saw to it that we were at meeting. And so many times around the country, I've had parents come to me and say, I just can't understand why my child is not interested in spiritual things. Well, sometimes you want to say, I can. You don't come to the services yourself, and you sure don't bring your children. And that's the reason sometimes we don't have very spiritual children, because they're not under the Word of God. We sometimes say they can make their own choice. And if you want to go to church, all right. If you want to go to Sunday school, all right. May let them make the choice. But beloved, as we see, God is trying to speak to hearts today of people. And yet when we send our children to school, we don't give them an opportunity to say if they want to go or if they don't want to go. We say, you have to go. And the reason we say you have to go is that the government will say, if you don't put your children in school, then we'll call you responsible for it. And so we put them in school. We don't give them a choice. So let's get them out to the services. Let's pray that our children will be saved. I thank God that before Tina was ever born in our family, and I know you shouldn't use personal experiences, but before Tina was ever born, before we ever knew her name was going to be Tina, and you've met her here, some of you that were here a few years ago, or when I was here a few years ago, you met my wife and Tina. You know, before she was born, we prayed that if it was a girl or a boy, that she'd be saved at an early age, or he'd be saved at an early age. You know, one night after a campaign, and she was just entering almost 4 years, she wasn't quite four yet, 3.5 years old, she asked me on the way back from a campaign one night, Daddy, can I be saved? Told her how she could be saved. She wasn't saved that night. She said, I'll wait until I get home. But the next day, she went to her mother, and her mother had the joy of pointing her to the Lord. Beloved, God answers prayer. Now some people say, how can a young child be saved at such an early age? That child heard preaching every night practically 9 months out of the year, night after night, because she traveled with me 3 years out of her early life before she went into school and heard me preach practically every night for 9 months straight. And so she got the gospel. The gospel works if you hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And your children and your relatives can't get saved unless they hear the word of God. And so let's try to be in prayer this week that God will use us as individuals to open up the eyes of the blind, that they might see the glorious truth that we have seen in the Word of God. And beloved, why shouldn't we share it with somebody else? Everybody's using that word share, and I told them yesterday, I don't like the word too well, because I've heard it so much. But you know, they want to share everything with somebody. They want to share their cigarettes, they want to share their drink. Well, how about us Christians sharing the gospel with the lost and getting them to the Lord Jesus Christ? So let's be much in prayer for these meetings. Now as we go into the Word of God, we want to quickly go in where we left off this morning. In that seventh verse, it says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Beloved, this is what the world needs tonight, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, another contrast, light and darkness, saved or lost, or belief or unbelief. You're either a believer here tonight, you either have accepted the fact of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to seek and to save you, or you don't believe it. You're either an unbeliever or you're a believer. You're either in darkness or you're in light. You're either saved or you're lost. And so that's the words that we want to dwell on this week. Where do you stand personally with the Lord God of heaven? Now notice what it brings out here. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Beloved, you know, each one of us has the privilege of bearing witness with the light. That's what I brought out this morning. Oh, I'm so thankful for every individual that is educated in our land and has doctor's degrees and has other great degrees put upon them. But you know, a lot of hard work goes into those degrees. A lot of hard work. And I admire these individuals that have these degrees. But you know, God has given us a privilege to bear witness of the light, to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to others. And that's given to every one of us. Isn't it a wonderful privilege we have, saints of God, to give the gospel to the lost, to see their blinded eyes open up to what the Lord Jesus Christ has for them. Now, he was sent to bear witness of the light. He wasn't the light. Neither are we the light, but the Lord Jesus Christ was sent into the world to be the light of the world. And you know, he does say, and I have to correct it because probably right through your mind, the Lord Jesus Christ says that ye are the light of the world. And the reason that we are the light of the world tonight is we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, if the Lord Jesus would come tonight for his saints, this world would be in a darkened condition, because the Holy Spirit would be gone, the saints of God would be gone, and this world would be in darkness except for those preachers that God leaves behind of the 144,000 that will be preaching through the tribulation period. But the world has a light tonight, and that light is dwelling in each one of us believers, and we should let our light so shine that others can see Christ in us. Now notice what it says in that ninth verse. That was the light, the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Beloved, that's the condition we are in here in Morgantown, in Sanford, North Carolina, and in Florida, and any other part of the world. We see that the world does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're groping in the dark. He came into the world, but the world knew him not. A lot of people are going to school. A lot of people are spending a lot of money trying to find out who they are and what they're here for. So many university students today are plagued with the idea in the mind. They say, well, what's the purpose of life? What is it all about? Is it just to work and work and work and work and build a few treasures together and then die? Is that all life is about? Just a few pleasures? Is that all it's about? No, beloved, we have the true light. We know what it's all about. God is gathering for himself a people for his name's sake, that one day they might share the riches of God in the heavenlies and on the new earth. What a privilege he gives to those that have had their eyes opened up by the power of the new birth. Now, beloved, notice what it says. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Oh, beloved, what a sad condition the world is in tonight. We take so lightly today sin, even believers themselves. So many times look at sin so lightly. They say, well, everybody's doing it. Brother and sister in Christ, remember, we don't have to answer for anybody else but ourselves. Let us keep ourselves clean for God. Let us put ourselves aside for the glory and praise of God Almighty. He created us in the likeness of His image. And beloved, let's try to live as Christians should live. We should not lie one to another. And yet God in His precious word, through the lips of the apostle, remind the saints of God, lie not one to another. Why is that said in the Word of God? Because it's possible for Christians to take on the trait of the world and lie one to another. We should be truthful men and women. And beloved, the other night when I was speaking on my chart, Eternity to Eternity in Asheville, a man came to me afterwards and he said, you know, this really bothers me. And he told me the business that he was in. And he was a pharmacy man that worked in the drugstore, and he said, you know, he said, sometimes, he said, it bothers me when doctors will write a prescription and somebody asks me what it is, and he says, they put me on the spot, and he says, I really want to tell them the truth, but not always I tell them, and he says, this bothers me. Preacher, what can I do about it? I said, well, the best thing you should do is tell them to see their doctor. If he wants them to know what the medicine is, he can tell them. Tell the truth. Don't evade the truth. Maybe you might say that's evading the truth. Well, if he's given to secrecy in his profession, beloved, all he can do is put the buck back on the fellow that wrote the prescription. And here it is so many times, we have to be honest in our business as a Christian. A man one time told me, he said, sir, he said, if I was honest in my business as a Christian should be, I wouldn't make any sales. I said, well, it would be better that you wouldn't sell a thing than to lie about your product. Beloved, this is the gear of the world today. And so many of us saints have taken up the action of the world because we're in the world. But we're not of the world. We're of the new world. And we need to be truthful men and women. We need to tell the truth to our friends. There was a preacher that counseled a couple. And he wasn't honest with them. And they knew that he wasn't honest. And they came to me and they asked me a question if I would marry them. And I said, I talked to them and counseled with them. And finally I found out the boy wasn't saved. And I said, no, I cannot marry you two. And he got angry at me. He says, why can't you marry us? I said, well, sir, the reason I can't marry you is the Bible speaks about the unequal yoke. And I said, you're not saved and she's saved. And I cannot consciously, with a good conscience of God, bless your marriage because God has told me in His Word that two that aren't saved together, that how can you unite darkness and light together? There's no contrast there. There's no fellowship. And I said, I can't have part in this. And the young fellow was very angry, and then I showed him the scriptures. He said, well, he says, I can see your point. And he said, I thank you for this, preacher, that at least you were honest with me. The last minister that wouldn't marry us, is he said the reason he couldn't marry us is because I wasn't a member of his church. He says,
turn the tape over, please. Thank you.
He says, so I said, well, we'll become members of your church. He said, well, I don't know if we have membership open right now. And you see, the preacher tried to get out of it. You see, we have to be truthful. Now, that couple knew that preacher wasn't telling the truth. Beloved, we need to be honest, even if it hurts an individual. Be honest. You heard about the little boy at Christmas time, that he was at Christmas, and he opened up the presents, and he says, I don't like that one very well. And his mother says, son, what's the matter with you? And he learned in Sunday school he should be honest. Above all things, tell the truth. And there his mother opened up a nice package from Aunt Susie. She opened it. Oh, she said, isn't that a beautiful pin that I got from Aunt Susie? And he thought under his breath, well, Mama really doesn't like it. Then Aunt Susie really opened up her present, and she opened it up, and she got a pin from his mother. And she says, oh, isn't this a beautiful pin I got from you? He said, it's not so beautiful. Mother had it for quite a long time. You see, he was telling the truth in all things. It kind of embarrassed the family. And beloved, sometimes if we tell the truth, it gets us in trouble. But beloved, let us be honest above all things. Let's not take on the characteristics of this demon world in which we are living. And beloved, we're saints of God because we've seen the light. Now, what do we want to get out of the Word of God here? He came into the world, but the world knew Him not. Beloved, if they would have known the Lord Jesus Christ and if they would have accepted Him, we would have the Lord Jesus Christ reigning on the throne of David tonight. But they rejected His coming. They rejected Him at Calvary, and they rejected Him again as He went to preach to the nation of Israel through the lips of Stephen, and there they rejected Him in the stoning of Stephen. Oh, beloved, when you think of that, and I'm going to point this out on the films that we have tomorrow night, Lord willing. I've got Egypt as well, and beloved, I was really touched with the nation of Egypt. I want to get with the doctor here that comes from there. Oh, what a wonderful time we had in that country, and then in Israel. And I'd love to show them all to you. I've got 6 hours of them, but I can't show them all to you. I know that. But we'll show a little bit, maybe, if you like it tomorrow night. Maybe we'll show a little bit more Tuesday night, Lord willing, if you want to see some more, for those that want to. But, beloved, when I was over there, my heart was captured even as I looked at Calvary. And I thought of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. And you know that hill isn't very high. Now, Josephus in his writing says that one came and Titus came and mowed down part of Calvary. Now, if that's right or not, we don't know. But he makes a note of this in his writing. And it might be so. But anyway, Calvary isn't as high as I thought it was. It's right outside the wall of the city. And beloved, as you see the skulls, and tomorrow night in the film, if we get to that part of the film, you will see the skulls right on the side of the mountain. Three skulls there are very prominent of a person, it looks like. But beloved, as you think of Calvary, as the people pass by, they wag their heads and said, "You saved others, but you cannot save yourself. Save yourself if you be the Christ." But beloved, He stayed there on Calvary for our sins. He took my sins and your sins in His own body on Calvary. But beloved, as you look from the part that you come from the Garden Tomb to look at Calvary outside the wall there, you're on kind of a platform, and as you look right down, like I'm looking on that piano over there, right there is the city bus station. And beloved, right there at the city bus station, some people feel that Stephen, as he was stoned by the people of Israel, that he was taken out the lion gate in stone. And others feel that no, that wasn't the place that Stephen was stoned. He was taken out of the city, and he was taken to the bottom of Calvary and stoned at the bottom of Calvary. And beloved, if that's true, at the top of Calvary they crucified him according to the book of Deuteronomy. But if it's true that Stephen was stoned at the bottom of Calvary, then we can say Jesus Christ was stoned as the Jews put one to death at Calvary. For really they didn't hate Stephen. They hated the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world to redeem the world. And beloved, as you see, Calvary at the top he was crucified. At the bottom of Calvary he was stoned, because Stephen was only a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this to each Christian here tonight. The world does not hate you. You can go through this world being known as a good guy or a good woman and loved by all. But when you find a difference in your life is when you stand up and speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when you get rebuked by the world, because the world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. They still hate Him. And beloved, if He was here tonight, He wouldn't last 33 years on the earth. They would crucify Him sooner, because they didn't love this one that could look into their eyes and say, "Ye are of the devil." Nobody likes one that you can meet that can look into your thoughts and know your heart. But that's the way it was of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the one you have to deal with. He came into this world, but the world did not love Him. Oh, tonight, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you only know the Lord Jesus Christ by using His name as a swear word? So many people only know Christ as a swear word. One man was cursing one time, and another brother said to him, he says, "My," he says, "you must be a religious fella." He says, "I'm not a religious fella. I never go to church." He said, "Well, I thought you must be a Christian because you use the name of Christ so much." Oh, beloved, is that what the world knows of us? Only about the Lord Jesus Christ, because from our lips we curse the blessed Savior. I said to a man one time back in 1948, I was working at Coast to Coast warehouses. He was cursing God for all he could. I said, "Look, friend," I said, "why? Why do you curse my Savior like that?" I said, "Look, the next time you have to swear, next time you're disgusted about something, instead of swearing and using the Lord's name in vain like you do," I said, "just say, Jim Redling this and Jim Redling that and Jim Redling the other thing." He said, "Well, what good would it do using your name?" Sir, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and Christ when you use His name as a swear word. You're admitting that there's a God over you, and you cannot swear by any greater, so you swear by the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you, or you swear by God the Father, God Almighty, and that's why you use his name, and you don't realize it, but by using his name, you're condemning yourself in the lake of fire. You swear by the greatest name, and the greatest name that there is to swear by is by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why you use his precious name as a swear word. Oh, beloved, you're not going to be held guiltless, but you're going to be found guilty for using his name, and hell is your portion. Oh, how you need to be born again into the family of God. Your eyes need to be opened up to the terrible sin of using his name in vain. So many times we preach on adultery and fornication. We preach on murder and we preach on stealing. But, beloved, we forget that most people don't commit these great sins, but they commit the sins of cursing God through his face day by day. And God says you're not going to be held guiltless, but you're going to be found guilty before the bar of God. You see, we as individuals put sin on different orders. But God shows us that sin is sin in his eyes. And if we've committed one little teensy sin, or if we committed a big sin, it still will send you to the lake of fire. That must be taken away. And it can only be taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, the Gospel of John brings out this wonderful word in the 11th verse. He came out to his own, and his own received him not. He gave himself to the Jewish nation, their Messiah. He came riding in that eastern gate on the coat. And as he came riding in, they said, Hosanna in the highest. And a few days later, they were hanging him on the cross of Calvary. He came to his own, but his own received him not. He wept over Jerusalem and said how they had killed the prophets and how he would like to gather them to himself, but they would not have him. And beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight is trying to gather you to himself. But many of us are pushing away and saying, I want you not, Lord. Don't come near me. Don't touch me. Leave me in my condition. But, oh friends, he wants to receive you. That's why the next verse says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's great to be saved. It's great to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. But notice that 13th verse. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Now, beloved, many times I've looked at that verse and I've wondered to myself, when did we behold the glory of Christ? I believe we see him when we're born again. We see him in a new light. But, beloved, the one who wrote this portion of God's Word by the inspiration of the Spirit of God was the beloved John, the one who leaned on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. When did he behold the glory of Christ? He was with him those years as a servant serving the Lord Jesus Christ, being with him. But, beloved, when did he see his glory? I believe when you get to the place of the Mount of Transfiguration. And, beloved, when you go over in Israel, you see Mount Hermon from the Sea of Galilee, right on the Lebanese border. As you look from the Sea of Galilee, you can look forward, and you see Mount Hermon, that beautiful sight. What a beautiful sight it is to see that snow-capped mountain. Now, some feel it might have been one of the other mountains that the Lord Jesus Christ went for, the Mount of Transfiguration. It matters not where it was, but, beloved, if it was Mount Hermon, what a sight it was. And when I looked at it, I couldn't help but think in my mind of the Scriptures of Mark 4, where it says, his garments turn exceedingly white, whiter than any fuller on earth or soap powder on earth can whiten them. Why was his garments white? Well, beloved, he was ready to go back to heaven from the Mount of Transfiguration. God the Father could never have stopped Jesus Christ from going back. But the reason he didn't go back is there were two with him. And they talked to him. Moses and Elias was there with Peter, James, and John. You remember all were in a company together there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it says Moses and Elias talked to the Lord Jesus Christ about his decease, about his death. Lord, if you go back to heaven from here, we can't ever be with you, for our sins have not been paid for. Beloved, he had every right to go back to heaven from the Mount of Transfiguration. His garments had changed. John said, I beheld his glory. He saw the glory of the only begotten of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But the Savior did not go back to heaven. He came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and went over to Mount Calvary to die. On the Mount of Transfiguration, beloved, he had proved that he had fulfilled the letter of the law. The letter of the law was keep the commandments. He had not broken one commandment, for he was God manifested in the flesh. And John saw him and beheld his glory. But, beloved, he had never fulfilled the demands of the law. The demands of the law was the soul that sinneth, it must die. The person that didn't keep all the commandments was going to die, put away from God, out of fellowship with God, into the lake of fire. So Jesus Christ not only fulfilled the letter of the law, but he came down and fulfilled the demands of the law for those that had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned. That means you, and that means me, and that means every individual. Beloved, we can behold the glory of Christ. We can say we saw him as he died on the cross. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Though you might use his name in vain tonight, my dear friend, he'll forgive you. All you have to do is come to him and receive his forgiveness, and he'll forgive you and gladly receive you to himself. You know, I wish I had time to just bring in the prodigal son, but just a mention of it. You remember the prodigal son left the home and lost all that he had in bad living. And as he did, he came back to the father. But you know what the scripture says? When he was a long way off, the father saw him, and he ran to him, and he put his arms around him. Beloved, he didn't tell him when he first saw that son come back. He came back just from the pig pen. He was smelling like the pigs, but the father loved him in his terrible condition, in his sweaty, his dirty, his filthy garments, and the father put his arms around him and loved him. Could we turn to Revelation 1 and verse 5 and notice what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us? Beloved, that's exactly how much God loves us tonight, even as the father in the story of the prodigal son loved his son. So God loves you, though you might be down deep in sin. He wants to cleanse you from every one. Notice the fifth verse of the first chapter of Revelation. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Beloved, he loves you when you're in a sinful condition. He loves you tonight no matter what sin you've committed. He loved us, and then notice, after he loved us, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Beloved, that's the way of salvation. First, the prodigal's father, he throws his arms around and kisses that boy that's stinking like the pig pen. And then after he has loved him, then he says, now, son, go and wash yourself and get on a clean robe. Beloved, that's what the Lord loves you in your sin. He doesn't want you to try to get rid of one of your sins. He wants you to come just like you are and put your sins in his care. And he'll wash your sins away with his precious blood. What a Savior we have. But the world knows him not. But many of us know him. And we love him, and that's why we love to testify of how much Christ means to us. Beloved, he became the Word. This first chapter is identification chapter of who Christ is. Beloved, in the first verse we find the Word, and then we find the Word became flesh. But we still don't know who this Word is. But then you come to the 17th verse, and it tells us who this Word is. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And beloved, in the first chapter of John now, from the rest of the chapter on, we find names for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he gives them, first of all, the Word. God wanted to speak to your heart, and there's only one way he could speak to you. Through the Word, through the written Word, through the spoken Word, and through the Word vocabulary that we have to give to individuals. God wanted to express his thoughts to your mind and heart, and so he does it through the Word. Tonight I'm trying to express the thoughts on my heart, and I'm using vocabulary, words, to convey it to your mind and heart. God spoke to you through the Word, but who is the Word? The Word is Jesus Christ, that's his name. But notice what John brings out later on in the passage, the 29th verse. We notice something interesting here. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, beloved, he's known as the Word. He's known as Jesus Christ. He's known as the Word becoming flesh. He's known as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Who is this that you're going to trust? Maybe tonight, right where you sit, you can trust the Lamb of God that will take all of your sins away. Trust the Lamb. But, beloved, then we notice another name for the Lord Jesus Christ down in the 34th verse. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now the Word, we know who it is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God. And now we find out who he is. He's the Son of God. Beloved, I have written in the top of my Bible, so sinful, so guilty am I dare not confide in his blood, nor on his salvation rely, unless I am sure he is God. That's what I'm trying to put forward tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, he's God manifested in the flesh, God dwelling among men, that we might be saved. Now notice as we go on into the chapter, we notice that he's called the Lamb of God again in the 36th verse. And then for time's sake, notice what it says in the 38th. It says, then Jesus turned and saw them following. These are the two disciples, and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Now, beloved, this is what the Lord wants you to get tonight. Here's his answer to them. He said unto them, come and see. And that's my invitation to each individual here tonight. Come and see what Christ has for you. Beloved, don't criticize the gospel until you come to the Savior. Don't criticize it and say it won't work for you until you give it a trial run, until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The devil will say you're too bad to get saved. But God says, come and see. It's the Redeemer we're working with. He can change your life. You can't change it yourself. And you know very well your life needs to be changed. You know very well that you're not satisfied with that life. And you need a new life within you. And beloved, here he says to these two, come and see where I dwell. The invitation of the gospel is come. Come. And that's one reason I'm not embarrassed when I give an invitation. Now, sometimes in some places I go, I get in a little trouble and they say, I wish you wouldn't give an invitation. And I try to obey as much as I can, not trying to hurl any authority around. But, beloved, the gospel story is come, come, come. And, beloved, you've got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that can forgive you for all sin. And, beloved, one night as I used to preach and give the gospel, and I would always have the tug, why don't you give an invitation? And finally, one night, the Spirit of God convicted me as we were closing a meeting. And I was there preaching. I'd given the gospel. And I was ready to close the service. And the Lord said to me, the reason that you won't give an invitation is you're afraid that nobody will come. And, beloved, I had to admit to the Savior behind that pulpit that night, Lord, you're right. I would be embarrassed if nobody wouldn't come. But he said, look, I lived, hung on Calvary openly. I gave them an invitation. I wasn't ashamed. And a lot didn't come to me there. Beloved, since that day, I've given an invitation to people to come to Christ. And like this morning and like every night last week in Asheville, except the last day, I gave an invitation, but nobody come. And sometimes people say, don't you feel embarrassed? No, I don't feel embarrassed. I gave you an opportunity to come. It's your fault that you didn't come. He says, come and see. I invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and see what he can do for your life. But notice, beloved, the next thing we notice, as soon as these two meet the Savior, what are they so enthralled with? They're enthralled with what they have seen with Christ. And the first thing Andrew does is he finds Peter, his brother, and he introduces him to Christ. Notice what he says in the 41st verse. He first findeth his own brother and said unto him, we have found the Messiah. Beloved, another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God. He's Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. And now we find his name is called the Messiah. The sent one from God. I have found the Messiah. Come and see, Peter. I have found the Messiah. He brings him to Christ. And, beloved, in order for your friends to be saved, they have to be brought to Christ by you or by me or by someone else. We need to bring them to Christ. The next one we do find out that met the Savior this night was Philip. The Lord Jesus Christ just finds Philip on the way. And some people are brought to the Lord, just meet the Lord, like Paul did on the road to Damascus. He was struck down at noonday. Nobody introduced Paul to the Lord until he was struck down. Then Cornelius was ready to give him the open word of God after he was struck down by the Lord. Beloved, but here we find that Philip was found the Messiah. He met him, and the Lord Jesus Christ introduces himself to Philip. Notice what Philip does as soon as he's converted. And, beloved, this is what's wrong with every assembly in the United States. We who are saved are not introducing others to Christ. That's why people aren't being saved. But we find in this first chapter, as soon as they're saved, they bring their brother. They bring their friend to Christ. Are we bringing others to Christ? We're the ones that are the light of the world. Are we going to open the blind eyes this week that they may see the glorious message of the gospel? Notice what we find here as Philip, after he finds Nathanael. Notice in the 45th verse, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. Friends, that's what I'm telling you this week. Come and see what Christ can do for you. Will you come to the Savior? Will you come to get that sin-burdened heart rescued from the pit and know what it is to put your head on the pillow at night and say, if I die before I wake, I'll be with Him? Beloved, it's glorious to be saved, but it's sad to be lost and on your way to the lake of fire. Notice what Nathanael, as he meets the Lord Jesus, Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me when he meets Jesus? Jesus answered and said, behold, that Philip called thee when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Here we find out again Nathanael gives him two names. Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Oh, beloved, here we find another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we mistake who this is? The Word became flesh. It dwelt among us. His name is Jesus Christ. It's the Lamb of God that will take your sin away. He's the Lamb. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. And then we notice that He was the Messiah. And then we notice Nathanael says, He is the King of Israel. Oh, beloved, and then the last verse we get, He's called and it says, and He said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. There is another name for Him, the Son of Man. Beloved, I'm introducing you to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, my Savior. Is He your Savior? Are you born again? Have you trusted Him? Oh, if you haven't trusted Him as your Savior, why don't you do it tonight? He's the King of Israel. He's the Messiah. He's the sent one of God for you to redeem you in the plight that you're in life, to rescue you from the pit of hell itself. Why don't you tonight, right where you sit right now, just open that life and heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I want to know Him. Come to the Lord Jesus tonight. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Maybe there's somebody that would just like to say right now, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to trust the Savior. Well, beloved, why don't you just humbly bow your heart and head and say, Lord, save me. Come into my life. I want you to be my Savior, and He'll save you, cleanse you from all sins with His precious blood. Will you receive Him tonight? Father, maybe there's one that would like to pray right now. Maybe they would like to be saved. Oh, Father, we've covered much ground tonight. We pray that it might have been simple and clear to the hearers of the Word. If there's a child here, may they receive the Son of God as their Savior. May they invite Him into their life. Maybe there's a young person, an old person. Maybe there's someone here tonight that needs to be saved. Oh, Father, rescue them from the pit of hell itself. Be with us. And Father, if there's one here that needs to be saved, we pray that Thou would save them right now. Encourage them to step forward through the invitation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we close in our service again by singing Just As I Am, number 373. And if there's one here tonight, maybe you were saved this afternoon at all. Maybe you were saved this morning. Maybe you've been saved tonight. Or maybe you want to be saved. Beloved, if you have been saved, why don't you publicly confess it by coming forward? If you want to be saved and you're not sure you're saved, why don't you please come? That I might be able to take God's word and show you how you can know you're saved. Tonight we want to help you. And beloved, this is your invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come? Shall we stand and sing three?